Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Author Chats. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. Today, we are pleased to have with us Andrea D. Lyon, the Dean of Valparaiso University School of Law, to discuss her recent book, The Feminine Sixth, Women for the Defense. Welcome, Andrea. I see that Andrea is in the queue. Let me try again to reconnect with her. Andrea, are you on? There seem to be some technical difficulties here. Perhaps she will try again. In any event, while we're waiting for Andrea to come back on, The Feminine Sixth is a magnificent book, and I encourage every criminal defense lawyer, every attorney in general, to read this book, male as well as female. It's a timely book. It was recently published. And one of the questions we want to discuss with Andrea is, why in 2018 a book like this? After all, 50% of law students are female. Women.
Can you hear me
like
now?
Andrea, we can hear you. Thank you so much, and many apologies. I was just setting the audience up, and I was saying we want to discuss with you why a book like this in 2018, because after all, 50% of our law school classes are composed of women. We have women like you who occupy positions of prestige and influence in academia, on the judiciary, in law firms. Why the Feminine Six?
Well, first of all, we are, relatively speaking, a new phenomena, women in law at all, let alone women in criminal defense. I thought it would be instructive and interesting to hear from women from all over the country at different stages in their career about their experiences and how they are alike and different than those of men. Mm-hmm. But also, this is the time. This is the time when, you know, time's up, when people are saying me too, and where people are saying, you know, enough already. And I think that this book is very timely for that reason as well. There's not one woman in the book, or that I know, Elizabeth, who has not had an experience, at least one, of being sexually harassed and being treated differently or poorly because of their gender and or race.
The full title of the book is The Feminine Sixth, Women for the Defense. Tell our listeners, Andrea, a bit how this book is structured.
Well, here's how it's structured. There's a literary conceit, and the conceit is that all of these women, these nine women, are at a symposium during Women's History Month this month, talking about what it's like to be a criminal defense lawyer by subject. In fact, what really happened was I went and interviewed all nine of them for 5 or 6 hours each, transcribed what they had to say, and then wove it together into the symposium by, you know, subject, like how did you get here, or dealing with moral repugnance, some of the subjects that one covers when you are talking about your career. So it seems as though you're at a symposium, but the symposium never happened, although I sort of hope it will.
If you've just tuned in, we're talking with Andrea D. Lyon. Andrea is the Dean of Valparaiso University School of Law, and we're discussing with her her magnificent and important new book, The Feminine Sixth, Women for the Defense, published by NACDL, or National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers Press. Now, Andrea, tell us a little bit about who these nine women are and how you selected them.
Well, they are from different parts of the country, from the South, the Midwest, the East, and the West. They're at different stages in their careers. Some are, you know, young lawyers, 3, 4, 5 years out of law school. Some are right in the middle of their career, and some are closer to the end of it, including one who is now retired. I wanted to give that perspective. They are also very diverse, black and Latino and Muslim and Filipina, and, you know, I tried to be as diverse as possible without having so many people that it would be impossible to tell their stories. Some of these women I knew. Some of these women I met by asking them to be willing to participate in this, and got information about them from their colleagues. When I was looking for somebody from the South Mississippi or Alabama, a lot of people told me to talk to Christine Stewart, so I did. Cynthia Stewart, rather. And so it's a combination of things, I guess is the best way to put it.
And did you have any women who were actually unwilling to be interviewed?
I had one woman who did not want to be interviewed, yes, who I asked. But everybody else was willing to do it. Part of what I told them was that I would send them the transcript of their what they told me, and if there was something in there that they wanted to correct or that they were like horrified they'd said, that I wouldn't put it in there. So they did have that control.
And out of all of the things that these women said, out of all of the issues they pursued, what, if anything, surprised you the most?
Well, one of the things that I was surprised to hear was, Ms. Stewart said that she felt that she was a good lawyer, but that she could have been a great lawyer if she had not spent as much time on parenting. I was surprised to hear that because I just didn't hear that from anyone else. So that was surprising. I also, the degree to which race and racism plays an even bigger role for the women of color that I interviewed than their gender was unfortunately not very surprising. And that's why that chapter is called Women in a White Man's World, because it's not just that they're men. It's that they're very, very entitled men.
And tell our listeners a little bit more about why the issue of race even seemed to loom more largely than the issue of gender for those women.
Well, because it's everywhere in our criminal justice system. If you go to the courthouse in Chicago at 26th Street, the criminal courthouse, you might think you were in, 1970s or 1980s apartheid South Africa, looking at who is running things and who is in chains. Race is a very, very important factor in how someone who's charged with a crime ends up being treated, how someone who is representing someone charged with a crime ends up being treated, the degree to which there is this level of, I'm trying to think of the right word, surprise when a woman is competent, let alone a black woman or a Latina woman. And that has not changed all that much, except that for those of us who are more senior, people said things out loud that they don't necessarily say out loud now.
Well, as you can imagine, I identified with so many of the anecdotes in the book. And in particular, I remember the story of Juanita Brooks, who is now, if you will, retired from the profession and does basically patent law, talked about her early experiences with NCDC, National College of Criminal Defense, located in Macon, Georgia. And she talked about how she was approached after her first summer there as a student to be a faculty member. And some of the older attorneys in her office, which was then the San Diego Federal Public Defender's Office, started saying, well, you only got this because you're a woman.
Well, they said it was worse. They said, she must have, who did she, the language, who did she blow to get this? Because they hadn't gotten it, so they were upset about that. And I've certainly had that experience. I imagine you have as well, Elizabeth. I mean, I remember when I was in the public defender's office, I had like a run of wins, like 7 or 8 acquittals in a row, which doesn't happen very often. And
no, that's man bites dog.
Yeah. And so the woman, so when that, after like the last one acquittal happened, the rumor that was going around is that I slept my way to all these acquittals. So apparently, without anyone noticing, I'd managed to sleep with, you know, 12 jurors, 2 alternates, and various assorted judges. I mean, honest to goodness.
While preparing for trial.
Well, yes. And, you know, it's just like, you know, really? I have a lot of energy, but not that much, darn it.
Yeah. And as you said a few moments ago, many years ago, the sexism used to be overt. Now it's more covert. But you had a number of women, 3, I believe, on the panel, Huma, Amanda, and Christine, who are relatively new in their careers. And as they were talking about some of their experiences, did you ever just want to stop and give them some advice or tell them about the fact that things might even get worse, but certainly they could get better, and this is what they could do to arm themselves?
Well, it was very difficult for me to not want to interrupt them to tell them things like that. And I'm, you know, looking at some of the transcripts, I did do a little bit of that. You know, these were long conversations, you know, over, you know, I say 5 or 6 hours each. So, you know, they, to some degree, I imagine that I was unable to resist trying to at least arm them with what it is that I've learned. And one of the things that...
Because you could hear some real pain through their words.
Yes, real pain. Yes, it was really true. And the idea that they were somehow less than, in the case of Uma, you know, doubly less than, she felt, her story about having one of the clients not want her because she was Muslim and didn't believe in Jesus, also a girl to boot, you know, was,
and small in size.
Yes. She's really tiny. So
and Huma also addressed the mixed messages. That is to say, on the one hand, as a 29-year-old unmarried woman within her community, she is seen as an oddity. But by the same token, she is held up as being a role model for the young girls in her community. And she talked about the difficulty of straddling those two worlds, of those perceptions.
It is very difficult because you're stepping outside of what your culture is telling you to do. Look, all of us who cross lines and who zealously advocate for our clients are taking positions that are, by their very nature, contrarian, right? You know, I'm saying to the United States government or state of Illinois, you can't have my guy because I said so. I mean, that's pretty contrarian to start with.
Sure.
And so, you know, that is as close as you can get to a profession that is deliberately not mainstream. When you add cultural pushes onto that, that makes it even harder for some of these women. And, you know, it's interesting to me that I've told some women about this one judge that the first day I met him, I walked in and he said, "What are you doing here? I don't like women lawyers," you know, and like from the bench. And they were like, "Oh my God, that's horrible." And it was. I'm not saying it wasn't. But in a way, it was clear. I knew who he was. I knew what I was dealing with. And in some ways, it gave me permission to say and do some things I might not have otherwise felt comfortable about. And so when I tell young women that, is that you have to sort of look at, I have this like weird theory that if you really are listening to what someone says, you can kind of see the thought bubble next to them, you know, like they have in cartoons, and that what they might want to think about is trying to figure out what's actually being said in the thought bubble. And it might be exactly that. And it requires real listening in a kind of empathic way, which is emotionally taxing.
I want to go back to a question I raised earlier, and this is the final question.
Okay.
When you are meeting with young women, when young women are telling you that they aspire to become a criminal defense lawyer, what is the single most important piece of advice you can give them?
That they need to do it on their own terms. That this is not a masculine profession or a feminine profession. It's a profession, and that the way that they approach it is the way that they should approach it. You come in the package you come in. You're big or you're small, or you're pretty or you're not, or you're handsome or you're not, or you're one race or another, or whatever it is that the packages that you come in, and you have to learn that is your biggest asset. Your biggest asset is your greatest strength, and that is who you are. If someone were to ask me what my greatest asset as a trial lawyer is, I would say empathy. And if they were to ask me what was my biggest weakness as a trial lawyer, I would say empathy.
And there you have it. Andrea, thanks so much for joining us here on Author Chats. And thank you to all of our listeners. We've been talking with Andrea D. Lyon, the Dean of Valparaiso University School of Law, about her new book, which was released in March, Women's History Month, titled The Feminine Sixth, Women for the Defense, published by NACDL, or National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers Press. I'm Elizabeth Kelly. Please remember, injustice anywhere threatens justice everywhere. Have a good day.